الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
In the name of God, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the Creator and the Sustainer of the Universe, peace and blessings upon His servant and messenger Muhammad forever. Amin. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except the one true God, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger and slave servant of God. I greet you, our viewers, with our usual greeting, the universal greeting of peace, a greeting that has been used by all of the prophets from Abraham through the Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon them all. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be unto you. I'm your host, Ahmed Rashid. Today we have our 28th program in our series on moral teachings of Islam. We'll be talking about sabr, or perseverance and resolution. I have joining me on the program, as usual, Dr. Jamal Badawi of St. Mary's University. Brother Jamal, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Could you perhaps explain for us the term sabr and give us the English equivalent to the extent that it's possible to translate it into an English equivalent?
The same problem you had with previous terms.
Yes.
Okay. Well, typically, many people translate the Islamic concept sabr into the word patience. Well, this is not a very good word. It's an approximate word, but it's not very good because patience comes from Latin and actually it means suffering, which is more of a negative thing connotated in people's mind with people being fed to the lions or certain theological ideas about passive type of suffering. The Arabic term, however, sabr, comes from the verb sabara, which means to tie or to bind. Or, in other words, it is a quality of being able to tie down uncontrolled fears, weaknesses, and human passion. So if you talk about equivalent English words, there's no single word really that express it, but approximate words combined together would be something like we said earlier, perseverance, resolution, fortitude, self-discipline, control. These are more or less related together to the broader meaning of sabr. And as used in Islam. So we're not really talking about a passive type of quality, but something which is more active, determined, and dynamic. And as such, you find that the term in Islam, perseverance or sabr, really has so many applications in human life, not limited to perseverance in case of calamity or disaster. It does include, for example, fighting for justice, fighting for freedom, demolition of human tyranny or oppression. These are all related even to the concept of sabr, unlike the negative, passive term usually given to the word patience.
Well, I wonder if you could elaborate a little bit and describe some of the applications of perseverance or sabr in the life of a believer.
Well, there are a number of things. Sabr or perseverance relate to obedience of God, to avoiding disobedience to God. It relates to perseverance in the face of rejectors, the hurt made by rejectors of truth. It may refer to perseverance in terms of company of the pious. It could even refer to perseverance in the case of not only calamity, but in case even of good fortune. Let me just throw some light on each of these. The Quran, for example, describes sabr or perseverance as something related to obedience to God. For example, in chapter 19, رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فَاعْبُدْهُ وَاسْتَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِ. It says, God is the Lord of heavens and earth and all that is in between them. So, it says, worship Him, and it uses a derivative of the term sabr or perseverance, and have patient perseverance in worshiping Him. So, perseverance in worship also is one meaning. Secondly, it is perseverance also in terms of keeping away from things that displease God. of perseverance in avoiding disobedience to God. For example, in chapter 113, it describes the believers as those who believe and do good deeds and exhort each other in truth and exhort each other in sabr or perseverance, because the chapter talks about mankind being in the state of loss except for those people with these qualities. And that's why Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was quoted in the Muslim collection as saying that paradise is surrounded with things that are trying and difficult, and the hellfire is surrounded with things that are more pleasing and glittery, to warn us again or give us one implication of perseverance. Thirdly, in the Quran, in so many places, it addresses Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the believers in general. وَلِرَبِّكَ فَصْبِرْ. That is, practice patience and perseverance for the sake of your Lord. In another verse, for example, in chapter 76, it says, therefore be patient with constancy to the command of your Lord, and obey not a sinner or rejecter of truth from among them. Fourthly, definitely perseverance also refers to perseverance in calamities and misfortune. That's not to be ignored. Yes. But I'm only saying that it's part of the total meaning of sabr. For example, in chapter 31 in the Quran, وَصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. Be patient or persevere with constancy in whatever misfortune befalls you. Fifthly, as I mentioned earlier, it relates even to sabr in the sense of persevering by keeping company with those who are pious and not to be attracted with the glitter of life for those who are not really true believers. In chapter 18, وَصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ. Persevere and have constancy with those who invoke the name of the Lord, of their Lord, morning and evening, seeking His pleasure. Don't let your eye deviate from them seeking the glitter of life. And finally, I mentioned that patience or perseverance in our minds usually tend to be associated with negative things, with calamities.
Yes.
Whereas we find in the Quran the same term, sabr, perseverance, resolution, applies as well even in the case of happiness or good fortune. For example, we find that Prophet Solomon, as the Quran quotes him, that when he was given so much by God, he says, لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَأَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. He said, this is out of the bounties of God, in order to test me whether I will be grateful or if I will be just boastful or rejecter of the truth. In chapter 11 in the Quran, it talks also about the nature of humans, that whenever a person is touched with good fortune after some adversity, he would be very boastful and say, all right, now I'm okay, everything is fine with me. And then it says, except that those people who follow this attitude does not really, or this attitude does not apply or make an exception for those who believe and practice this perseverance. So as you have seen, you know, perseverance is a much broader term in Islam than a negative, submissive, passive acceptance of fate.
Mm-hmm. So, there's a situation that I'm sure may be on the minds of some of our viewers, and that is the situation where quite often you find the people who are very pious people, who are very upright, good people in the community and so on, and yet these people are face calamities and have trials and so on, and people wonder why, why this happens.
Why they're not rewarded.
Why they're not rewarded for their piety and so on.
Okay. Well, the answer to that question is related to a topic that we covered a long time ago on this program on the Muslim belief, the question of qadar or measure. That to start with, one has to say, first of all, that we as humans are not in a position, or we don't have the qualification to judge the ultimate wisdom of God, because so many things, like you exactly described, might sound to us paradoxical in this life. But sometimes we forget that beyond our human judgment and ability, there must be also another higher order of things and wisdom, divine wisdom, that we may not fully be qualified to judge or understand. But this is only one aspect of the answer, of course. On the other hand, the Quran gives a more concrete answer to that question by indicating to us that it is not necessary that only the unbelievers or the wicked people are the ones who are touched with calamities and difficulties. Nor does it say that it is only the believers or good people who are given bounties of God. God has his own ways with people, and he has his own higher wisdom, some of which even we might be able to at least get a glimpse of. For example, in the Quran, it indicates in several chapters, I'll just give one example, for example, in chapter 29, the beginning. It says, do people think that they will be left saying, we believe, without actually being tested?
Mm-hmm.
So calamity and difficulty and trials are in themselves one way of testing the purity and the seriousness of one's faith. Indeed, in chapter 3 in the Quran, for example, it says, do people think that they will enter into paradise without God testing those who struggled in his path? So on one hand, you could say that testing or trials is part of verifying our faith in God. Indeed, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, indicates that if God loves some people, he tests them, he tries them. In another saying, he said that maybe a person is tested in this life so that his punishment comes earlier. That is, the punishment in this life is much easier to bear than waiting for eternal punishment in the hereafter. In another saying, he said that people are tested, or the people who are tested most in terms of their faith are the prophets, and then those who are closer. Those who are closer, and we find prophets are among the people who suffered a great deal, not because they were wicked or bad. So on one hand, it is quite possible that some of the calamities that may befall the wicked could be a sort of punishment. The Quran also clarifies that. But one cannot make a general rule and say, all right, you know, it's always punishment or it's always good. The Quran indicates that as humans, we are tested both by bounties, good life, as much as we are tested also by trials and difficulties.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, your comment on another set of circumstances. Quite often there are people who believe because patience is something that is rewarded, we find them going to the almost to extremes where they'll neglect their own human needs and sometimes will even go to the extent of torturing their own bodies.
Right.
What is your view of this from a Muslim perspective?
Well, the fact that, as I mentioned earlier, the believers regard calamities and difficulties as tests from God that one could be really good for him or her in the long run, it does not mean, however, that one should seek it. In other words, there is a difference between a person actively seeking a calamity or difficulty and between being patient and to persevere and be constant when and if this calamity takes place. I base that answer on the Quran. For example, in chapter 4, in verse 147, it says, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ وَأَمَنْتُمْ. What does God gain by punishing you, or by your punishment, if you are truly believers and grateful to him? In other words, there is no particular verse. God doesn't sit and enjoy people being or torturing themselves or being punished. Punishment is only for those who disobey, but there is no inherent, intrinsic value, if you will, in human being punishing or torturing himself or others. Also, in another occasion, as narrated in Bukhari, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was in pilgrimage. And he saw a very old man, very weak, who could hardly walk, with his two sons around him, helping him, just almost about to fall. He said, what's the matter? What's wrong with him? They said that this person made a covenant or promise that he would go for pilgrimage walking, that he, by going through the difficulty of walking, he gets more divine reward. And then Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, gave a very, very interesting answer. He said, God does not need or has no need for this fellow torturing himself. And he ordered him that he should ride,
mm-hmm.
you know, to feel more comfortable. In similar occasions, more than one occasion, people came to him and said, for example, my sister wants to do pilgrimage and she's weak, but she insists on walking. He said, no, order her or command her that she should ride and not to overexert herself. So in that sense, then you can say, there is another aspect also before I conclude this comment. In both Bukhari and Muslim, the most authentic sources of prophetic tradition, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was reported as saying that even when you go for jihad or for struggle against those who want to, you know, destroy you, he said, don't hope or be too eager to meet the enemy in the battlefield, and ask God for tranquility, peace and safety. But if you have to face the enemy, if you meet the enemy, then practice perseverance and patience and have resolution. So even in the case where courage and resolution is required, one should not just be too happy about the sight of fight. Should ask God to avoid, you know, that this situation be avoided. If it can be avoided, then one can show resolution in that situation. In other words, to conclude it, a person need not torture his body, need not actively seek calamities and difficulties to prove his faith. But if it happens without active seeking, well, in this case, you can practice this quality of perseverance.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I've been listening to have you comment on as to how this concept of sabr or preservation or perseverance and resolution is related to some of the other moral virtues that we've talked about in previous programs in this series.
It is related to many of these virtues as well as to others. I'll just give you a few points. First, perseverance is described in the Quran as one of the characteristics of those who are pious or those who are God-conscious. For example, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِ وَيَصْبِرْ in chapter 12, verse 90. Truly, a person who is God-conscious and practice perseverance, this is certainly, and practice or exercise of courageous will and resolution in the conduct of affairs. Secondly, it is related to forgiveness. Mm-hmm. For example, in chapter 42 in the Quran, verse 43, وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرْ that for those who practice perseverance and forgive. And you might recall in our discussion of the subject of forgiveness that it is related also to perseverance, because forgiveness requires a person to persevere and not to carry grudges in his heart towards people. In one beautiful verse in the Quran, in chapter 16, 126, it says, وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. It says, if you have to punish or retaliate, punish or retaliate in the same degree as the hurt that was inflicted on you. But if you practice perseverance and patience, then this is better for those who are patient. So it doesn't neither say an eye for an eye or tooth for tooth, nor does it say in all situations turn the other cheek. It simply say that you have the right to retaliate, but if you really control yourself when you are able to take revenge and control your passion and your anger, then this is better for those who have the resolution and have that perseverance. Thirdly, the Quran describes perseverance as related also to the attitude of being grateful to God. لَآيَاتٍ لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ in chapter 14. Here indeed are signs for those who are sabbar, those who practice perseverance, and those who are grateful to God. Fourthly, it is related to the attitude of trust, confidence in God, and dependence upon Him. الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا عَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ Describing the believers, it says that these are those who persevere in patience and put their trust in their Lord. Fifthly, the Quran speaks of perseverance as related to jihad. And jihad, as I indicated before, means to struggle or to exert effort in the path of God in a variety of forms. Praising the believers, for example, the Quran describes them, الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا وَصَبَرُوا that those who strived or strove in the path of God and showed resolution and constancy. In the Quran also we find that perseverance is related to the quality of mercy and compassion. For example, وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْمَرْحَمَةِ in chapter 90 in the Quran, describing the true believers as those who exhort each other to persevere, to have resolution, and exhort each other to have passion and kindness or mercy on other people.
Mm-hmm. Could you perhaps shed some light as to the benefits and the rewards of sabr or resolution and perseverance?
Well, to start with, we find that perseverance or sabr, resolution, has been mentioned in the Quran as one of the main characteristics of prophets. For example, in chapter 6, verse 34, it says, وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَصَبَرُوا عَلَى مَا كُذِّبُوا وَأُوذُوا. That is, before you, O Muhammad, there had been so many messengers or prophets who were rejected by their people, but they showed perseverance, constancy in the face of this rejection and in the face of this hurt or affliction that were done to them. In addition of being described as an overall characteristic of believers, it is a distinct characteristic of the greatest of all prophets. The term used in the Quran, Ulul Azm, the greatest five prophets who showed even more determination and constancy than others, those who were subjected to more hurt and more rejection by their people. And this, as you might recall, includes Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and the last one, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon them all. So this again, for example, in chapter 46 and 35, addressing the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and consoling him for the difficulty he had with the rejecters of truth.
Mm-hmm.
It says, فَصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرَّسُلِ. Be patient, persevere, and have resolution as did other prophets who had this resolution, the best of all prophets. In chapter 38, it speaks about one particular prophet who was really suffering a great deal, Prophet Ayyub, or in English, Job. Inna wajadnahu sabiran. God says that I found him to be really a person with great perseverance. What a faithful servant, that is, servant to God. In addition to the description of sabr being characteristics of prophets, which is praiseworthy in itself, we find the Quran also give it as an overall characteristic of believers in general. In a beautiful and moving verse in the Quran, in chapter 33, verse 35, I don't have time to give the whole quotation, it gives a number of descriptions of believing men and women in terms of truthfulness, prayerfulness, devotion to God. And it adds, وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَالصَّابِرَاتِ. That is, and men who practice constancy and resolution, and women who practice constancy and resolution, and then keeps on adding those characteristics, and it ends, أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. That's the reward for them, is that God has prepared for them forgiveness and abundant reward. In the Quran also, we see that constancy is a quality which is prerequisite for spiritual leadership. Describing people before Islam, for example, who are giving this leadership, in chapter 7, verse 136, it says, and we appointed from among them leaders, giving guidance under our command, so long as they persevered with patience and believed in our signs. For that reason, we find that the Quran gives a good tiding, glad tiding, for those who practice this quality of perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
That is, even in the day of judgment, if people cannot get reward in this life, some reward may occur, accrue in this life, but in the hereafter it says, وَلَنَجْيَنَّ الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا أَجْرَهُمْ. That is, we will give abundant reward for those who practiced perseverance. In chapter 25, verse 75, it says that those who practice perseverance, أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا. They will be rewarded with the highest place in heavens because of their patience and constancy. It says, أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْتَوْنَ أَجْرَهُمْ مَرَّتَيْنِ. They will be given the reward twice, double reward. In chapter 76, a reward is mentioned there as جنة وحريرة. that God will give them paradise and garments of silk. And then it gives a very nice scene of angels in the Day of Judgment. والملائكة يدخلون عليهم من كل باب سلام عليكم بما صبرتم فنعم عقب الدار. This is a very beautiful and moving scene describing angels entering unto those believers in paradise from every gate with the salutation, peace be upon you, for that you persevered in the path of God. Now how excellent is your final home. No wonder then that we find that the prophetic tradition are in line with these verses I quoted from the Quran. Prophet Muhammad, for example, in Muslim, indicated that in one long hadith are saying that perseverance is light for the believer. In another saying, in Abu Na'im, he says that patience and perseverance is half of the faith, mm-hmm. or equal to the value of half of the faith.
Mm-hmm. Well, given the benefits and the rewards as you just described them, I guess the practical or the logical question to follow would be, how can one in a practical kind of way inculcate these kinds of quality, or get this quality of perseverance or resolution or sabra? How can one, what practical suggestions can you make?
Well, I could think offhand of five basic ones. First of all, one should try to strengthen his faith in God and his trust in Him. That God has certain knowledge and wisdom and justice that we cannot evaluate ourselves. To realize that God is the owner and possessor of the entire universe. And He gave us everything, our children, our spouses, our property, and our lives. Should He decide at any time to take His property back, one should have no objection. Just like somebody lending you something, you borrow it from him. Whenever he decides, he takes it back. We should have all of these concepts in mind. Secondly, we should realize also that anything that happens on this earth is decreed by God before even the earth was created. So one should not fall into this argument, if I did such and such, the result could have been such and such. There is one saying of Prophet Muhammad in which he asked us not to take this kind of attitude. In chapter 57 in the Quran, verse 22, it says, no calamity happens on earth or in yourselves except that it is written in a book before the earth even was created. To remove our anxieties and fears, unnecessary anxieties, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that if all mankind combined together to benefit you with something, they would not be able to benefit you unless God decreed for you to benefit. If they all of them gather and collude to hurt you, they will never be able to hurt you except in matters that God has decreed. So this is a second basic suggestion. A third, that one should have some perseverance and not to rush or expect or demand solution very quickly of his adversities. إِنَّ بَعْدَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا or إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, that after or with every difficulty there is relief. Fourthly, to realize that many of the difficulties we face in life could be even atonement for our sins, as the Prophet described it, that just like the tree sheds its leaves. And finally, to turn to God in the case of difficulty, to pray to Him and to ask for His guidance and support in whatever adversities we may face. This is the only source of support and consolation.
Thank you, Brother Jamal. We want to thank you for watching our program. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
Allahu akbar.